Northcote Girls. She was speaking up ahead.
Oh, hi. Is that Gales on Northcote Road?
Yes.
Oh, hi. It's Archie Curzon, the CEO of Clapham.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. You well? You well? Having a good Q3?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Good, yeah. Yeah, August is always a bit quiet, but we're hoping for a big September here in the city.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I'll just give me a call. It's a bit of a strange one, but I'm obviously off to France for the World Cup. It was a sort of two-folded question. Firstly, do you know if they have a Gales in Paris?
No.
Ah, that's...
Gales is only UK.
Right, that's a real nightmare because sort of my routine is obviously do a bit of CrossFit on Saturday morning and then come down and have an oat flat whey and that tiny little salmon baguettes, which are absolutely delicious, by the way. They're naughty. There, I've actually don't tell anyone. I had two actually the other weekend. Anyway, look. The other thing is it possible? How long would those little tiny salmon baguettes last? Because I'd maybe like to take two or three with me for the weekend. It's just a home comfort.
You mean the mini salmon?
Yeah, mini salmon. How many could I take, and how long would they last in a box and traveling to Paris?
In a day, the same day.
Same day, right? That's a bit
because it's salmon, you know, it's raw fish.
Okay, but could I maybe just take the baguette without the salmon and find some smoked salmon in Paris? It's just the way you guys do it, I mean, is just perfect, really.
No, we don't sell that.
Okay, could you not do it for me?
We cannot because it's not in the menu, it's not in the deal. So what is not in the deal,
I don't know how I'm going to cut. Okay, last question then. Is it possible, could I come in at some point and speak to the barista and just find out how you do the oat flat white? Just because I'd like to sort of, maybe he could record a voice note that I could play to a barista in Paris so that they get the oat flat white just like you do it.
It's just the coffee. The coffee's going to be different anyway.
Do you know what coffee it is?
Like the coffee they use.
Yeah. So you don't know what coffee they...
You know what I mean? Like, the coffee they use is different, so it's going to be different anyway. I mean, for sure there is nice coffee shop.
Yeah.
But you need to check on Google, you know.
I just love the way you do the oat flat white, though. That's it's going to be really annoying, because that's... I love...
You need to try a new place there. No, maybe you find something really good.
I just love Gales. I just love Gales. Okay.
Sorry.
All right, well...
Don't go to Paris.
Yeah, I wish I'd stay in Clapham. I tell you, I wish they had the World Cup in Clapham. I hate leaving Clapham.
Yeah, so sorry.
Au revoir. Love and champagne. Au revoir.
This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
Le lash. Viens avec moi pour le rugby en France. Prends une bière et on suit dans la danse. Viens-tu de suite si t'as seule chance. Bienvenue à la Coupe du Monde de rugby en France.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 148 of the Rapist Podcast, but more importantly, episode 2 of our World Cup special in partnership with those wonderful, wonderful people at Samurai. And I'm joined by a man wearing full Samurai stash, of course you buddy, you look incredible. World Cup's here, Archie. How are you?
Stag do! Stag do! Stag do! Stag do!
You're going to stag?
Mate, we're going to Paris. Friday, we're going to be in Paris.
Yeah, but that's not a stag do.
Yeah, me and you. It's like a stag
do. It's a work trip.
Well, it's going to be a stag do. You packed your drinking boots.
But mate, it's a work trip.
My drinking boots.
Really?
Literally, yeah. I packed my Chelsea boots that I always wear when I go on the lash.
Okay, well, that's great. You realise it's meant to be a work trip, though. We're meant to be going to follow and...
Yeah, but you obviously haven't worked in the city, mate. When it's a work trip, it's basically, in inverted commas, it's a lash trip.
Okay, so things are going to get...
From the moment we get there... I'm having Birrios.
Oh, really?
And so are you.
We're getting there at 9 a.m.
We're going for drink for drink.
We're getting there at 9 a.m.
Now, I'll be drinking on the Eurostar.
Jesus.
I'll be drinking Veuve Clicquot on the Eurostar.
Okay, well, we are obviously, as this comes out, we'll be in Paris tomorrow when people listen to this podcast, which is amazing.
Yeah. I cannot wait. World Cup is here. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes.
Oh, no, not again, Archie.
The World Cup is around us. And that's how the feeling goes.
Are you going to be wearing full
That's one of my better songs. I sang that pretty well.
You did sing that very well.
Don't deny.
No autotune needed. Are you going to be wearing full samurai stash the whole time?
Yeah. For me, it's really important. I see this as a work lash trip.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I'm at school again and I'm going on tour. And it's really important for me to represent Clapham Falcons when I'm abroad. So I'll be wearing Clapham Falcons stash, which is now available for everyone to purchase.
All you have to do is click the link in the bio. We've got some incredible hoodies, shirts, gym vests, rugby shirts, everything. So click on there, because it's going to run out.
I'll be bowling around Paris in full stash. Just so that allows people to know that I play rugby.
Okay.
And gives them confidence that I've got chat. They'll probably be coming out of it going like, bonjour, bonjour, le banter. And I'll be like, oui, bander.
Okay, you speak the shirt. Well, obviously we are going to be out in Paris and then Marseille for 2 days. Sadly, we don't have tickets for the games, but we're going to be in the city, so we're going to be enjoying the atmosphere, go to the official fan village, really soak it up, maybe go to some like cool little restaurants. It's going to be good.
Hold on, mate. Firstly, I've rejigged this samurai button. You're going to enjoy this.
Samurai!
A lot snappier than the last one, actually. Yeah. The last one's quite long to go.
I think that's quite effective. Oh, let's just listen to that one more time. Ugh.
Samurai!
Yeah, no, we get it. Okay,
and then also the DJ Khaled button.
Another one.
Why are you still using that DJ Khaled button?
I just love it. People actually love the DJ Khaled button.
Do they?
But before I interrupt you, hold on one more time.
Another one.
Oh, Archie, please, let's crack on the podcast.
Another one.
I've got a little gift for you. I know you've been working your bloody socks off for this organisation for quite some time.
Thank you very
much.
And
I know sometimes you feel unappreciated.
Sometimes, yeah.
But that's just where you're at in life. You know, you're grafting.
Yeah.
You know, you're only in year three of this podcast
game. Sure.
But anyway, as your yearly bonus, I did think about giving you cash.
Oh, that'd be great.
I thought, no, you wouldn't want that.
No,
I've managed to get us tickets for the France-New Zealand game.
No, you
haven't.
The
opening game of the World Cup. Press the buttons!
Another one.
Samurai!
It's been so, oh god, that was a mishmash of button. RG, it's been sold out for over 2 years.
How the hell
have you got tickets? You haven't got tickets.
I have generally got us tickets. When you've nearly got 90,000 followers on Instagram, you become pretty important. I made some calls, and you're welcome, Freddie Claude. We're on the lash. We're on the lash.
We're off to the World Cup.
Samurai.
So, Archie, today you've managed to get on the podcast, I don't know how, a man who's, I think, the second most capped sprint book of all time, World Cup winner, one of the greatest centres to ever play the sport, a man you'd love to play alongside, Jean de Villiers. I mean,
it would have been a hell of a combination.
Really
he would have ran some fantastic dummy lines to open up some gaps for me to score. But yeah, looking forward to having better. We always have good C.H.A.T. chat when the Saffas come on.
Love you.
Full respect to Africa. You know, they are brutes up front, but they have got chats in the backs. I think the only thing left to say is un, deux, trois, chat. JDV, we can't see a video yet, and it'd be great to see your chassis. Wonderful. Wow, what a get-up. You've got a serious rig going on there. Jean, you look like someone who does a lot of property deals. You've got that look about you. You've got a man that is doing multiple international property deals across the globe. It looks like you're dressed like a man that enjoys foie gras for breakfast. Which I respect, by the way.
None of the above. So no property deals at this stage. A couple of other deals on the go, trying my hand at quite a few things. But life of a retired rugby player, trying to find new purpose. So, yeah, but I just finished a nice little rugby talk, and certainly the vibe in South Africa and the lead up to the Rugby World Cup is very exciting. So we've got rugby fever going in South Africa.
Well, the vibe in London's not as great, is it, Archie?
No,
We're a bit worried about England.
It's not great. I mean,
why is that?
I don't know. I mean, my following on Instagram is going up, but the morale for the England rugby team is going down. I don't know if that's any correlation, but it's probably the fact that although Steve Borthwick is very, very charismatic, he doesn't seem to have captured the nation.
Never kick a man when he's down. No. They're going through a bit of a rough patch, and that unfortunately is sport. So hopefully they can sort it out and get themselves back on the road. Hopefully not against South Africa.
No, well, I mean, it's difficult because in life, like, you know, when my mum and dad had a bit of a rough patch, they just divorced and they just moved on. And actually, every time my dad's had a bit of a rough patch with his partners, he's just got rid of them. But in rugby, you can't really do that as such. You've got to keep going. So, you know, that's why my dad said to me, you know, why can't they just sack Steve and just move on? I said, Dad, it's not like your marriage wages. You know, they've paid a lot of money for him. He says, yeah, but I pay out. I just do a payout to the, you know, your mother and to your stepmother and your other stepmother every time. But yeah, he wants the job of the, he wants the top job. He wants Bill Sweeney's job. He thinks he can make a difference.
And how do you feel about your inheritance, you know, being halved?
It's one of those tricky things, but I'm very fortunate. My godfather owns a very respectable company in the city, and I've been working there for the last 15 years. So I've got, you know, I'm on six figures, JDV. So, you know, all is well. And, you know, I'm captain of the Clapham Falcons, which is one of the highest profile semi-professional rugby teams out here. So I don't know if you've been to Clapham, but I'm the CEO of the area.
I have been to Clapham. I haven't seen you around. You obviously, you know, I don't get to all those high-end spots.
Well, it's next time you're there, please let me know. I'm taking Bob, actually, Bob Skinstead, down Northcote Road for a tour, which is very much, like I said to him, is the Venice of London.
Yes, I'm trying to imagine that.
I don't know if you've been down Northcote Road. It's a beautiful road just by Clapham Junction train station, which is a wonderful train station that has links to multiple areas, including Twickenham, which is really important because we feel Clapham is the real home of rugby. You can go to lovely cafes. There's a place called Gales that do these tiny little salmon baguettes, which are absolutely to die for. So let me know when you're next down, and I'll, you know, I can do a similar tour for you as well.
No, I'll definitely ring you up. No doubt.
And then we can go for some Whispering Angel and maybe go to Inferno's and then end up doing some bum funnels, which is one of the things I do with the rugby boys.
Well, we should say to those listening, obviously we are delighted to be joined by ex-South African captain, a World Cup winner, and a man who most importantly inspired Archie to bleach his hair when you were playing fly half for the 4-15 all those years ago. John, thanks for joining us. Archie, are you ever going to bring that look back?
I'm considering it. It was JDV and also Percy Montgomery that really inspired me to go for those blonde locks. I could do actually. Write that down. I'll experiment.
I'll write that down for you.
I'll try downstairs first and then try upstairs second.
Yeah, I never did the downstairs, but even the upstairs I've let go now. You know, apparently it's a more mature look.
I don't know. I feel like you're pulling off the look well. I mean, it was also Nick Abendoyn went for the dyed look as well. And we went to school together and sort of taught him everything he needed.
South African born.
You're kind of South African, aren't you? You think you are?
Yeah, I mean, I spent some time in Cape Town for a week and I picked up the accent pretty quickly. So it's a bit dangerous. It was good for the ladies when I got back here. I was like, hey, do you want to, you know, maybe come and have some beer with me at my flat? You know, nice and lecker, sweet like a lemon. And then they're like,
that's very good. Yeah, that's very good. You are multi-skilled.
Yeah.
And your hair is looking beautiful as well.
Yeah, it's trademarked. Do that. It's trademarked. Yes. This lid is trademarked. It is deadly.
John, we're 2 days away from the opening of the World Cup. The Springboks destroyed Wales 2 weeks ago, then the All Blacks last week. They're making every team look absolutely shocking. Is this possibly the best SA side you've ever seen? What chances do they have going to this World Cup? Because they just look better than anyone by quite a distance.
Yeah, the problem is South Africa. As South Africans, we don't like being favourites. We don't like having a big target on our back, and it feels like at the moment we've got that. So yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one. Do we know who our starting team would be? Do we know what our best team looks like? Or could the depth that we've created actually be our Achilles heel within the SA team? So, you know, that performance again, look, the Wales game, you know, I think we can all agree, an understrength Welsh team that played.
Well, you got a tricky opening match against the Scottish, who themselves look like they've sort of had some resurgence of late. And
they're half their team's African as well, interesting.
Yeah, half their team is South African, which does help them. But obviously, talking about tricky opening fixtures, you were part of that Springbok side who lost to Japan, Brighton 2015. Tell us your memories of the day. Does that still haunt you or not?
Well done, Freddie, for bringing that up. That's going to go down well.
Well, why do we immediately go to that? This is like a very nice conversation. We ease into it, but you just go smack bang.
Poor journalism. They say he's the Piers Morgan, you know, of the rugby world, and then he's gone and done that.
Really?
Controversial.
Yeah. Look, I would like to think that we just did World Rugby a massive favour. You know, with a loss to Japan, understanding that in 4 years' time, the next World Cup would be in Japan. Yep. You want to expand the game. You want more people to watch. Suddenly we lose to Japan, and the following week, you know, they doubled their numbers in terms of viewership in Japan. So, you know, for me, it was a strategic move that, from a business point of view, made sense. But in all honesty, to say, it was a tough one to swallow. It was a really tough week post that that performance and that loss. We didn't take our opportunities when we should have, and we got a proper kick under the butt.
It's quite similar with myself, what Jean's saying there, is because sometimes when I'm clubbing, I will see a rather large girl who probably looks lacking confidence, and I'll just go over and snog her. And that will, again, like, give her the confidence that what the South Africans did to the Japanese.
The next week when she goes out, she'll... Yeah.
Very similar. And actually, you see her the next week, and she's doing so much better. And that's the kind of gift I do, you know? I just go over there, I lunge, give a quick kiss, I say, babe, you're okay, and yes. Then on your way.
I've never looked at it in that way, but yeah. Sort of makes sense.
It, for me, it does. You got to. I'll get a graft. I'll send you a graft by email, and then you understand.
Okay. Yes.
John, talking about being haunted, obviously all South Africans who come on this podcast, and we've had loads, all the legends, and now obviously joined by one of the biggest of all time. Relay their memories of schoolboy rugby. Most importantly, the initiations they go through to get into the first 15. What horrors were in store for you in Pyle Gymnasium?
You know, the rugby initiation, actually, you know, none of that haunts me, and you're kind of prepared for anything. What I do, however, remember is that Skalk and myself, we played first team cricket together. And the cricket initiation was quite interesting. So they would put a couple of cricket balls in a shoe. And then with a bit of a, you know, with a, like a, about a 10 yards, you run in, and then you'd get a couple of smacks on the bum with that. It's not that nice. It's actually not a nice feeling. And it's not that you actually the bone, your bum bone gets bruised. So it's like that blue, purpley color that eventually surfaces. Yeah, that wasn't nice. And that's cricket, the gentleman's game, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, of course.
That takes me back to boarding school. That, yeah, my bum being like that.
All bruised.
No, it wasn't a cricket ball, though.
Well, John, post-school, you made a name for yourself on the Sevens circuit before eventually making your full debut 2002 against the French, ironically hosting this tournament and one of the World Cup favourites. But talking about being injured, being bruised and battered, your debut was a complete disaster, lasted only 5 minutes. For those who don't know what happened, can you just quickly take us through that sort of horrific five?
Played my first test match, so in Marseille, France, 9th of November, 2002. And as you said, at the age of 21, so up until that stage, the only senior rugby I played was, you know, the Seventh Circuit, as you mentioned, but one Currie Cup game. So I never played Super Rugby prior to that, and played one Currie Cup game, got drafted into the Springbok squad. And obviously a big moment, making your debut, and ever since I could remember, I always wanted to play for the box. And then when you're playing the game, you just want to contribute, you know, either get a good run or make a big tackle. And eventually, 5 minutes in, Thomas Castagnier was playing opposite me, made the tackle, got back up, foot got stuck, got hit from the side, and I got stretched off the field, knee ligaments off. So kind of what was meant to be, you know, the biggest day in your rugby career, everything you've been working towards, ended in a bit of a nightmare, and in a way that kind of trend with injuries followed me throughout my career.
We know how brutal the South Africans are, though. Even though you were stretched off, did they still make you go through the whipping initiation? Who had the honour of whipping you? And did they whip you whilst you were still on the stretcher?
No, they didn't. So during that time, they weren't whipping the guys. So it kind of changed a little bit, and the initiation process. And then only, you know, a couple of years later, new coach and the guys were saying, no, we want to bring it back. So we were on the end of year two, I think it was 2006. And I told the guys, so I made my debut 4 years ago, but yeah. I still don't feel part of it. Come on, let's do it now. And it was John Smith, actually, that that ended up doing it. Yeah. And he was a very good tennis player, you know. So he's got the arm as well. Good forehand.
In between 06 and your debut of 2004, and you are the hero for South Africa in an unexpected victory, right, in the Tri Nations Championship. People didn't really see you coming to win that, but you completely destroyed, annihilated, and dominated, and you were the top scorer. We've heard that 04, the last kind of fungs of amateur professional era still intertwined. What were the celebrations like? Because apparently after that they quietened down a bit, but 2004 apparently things got loose.
Who told you it quieted down after that? but the celebrations were pretty hectic after the 04 performance. I'm actually here in Durban today where we played that game against Australia to win the Tri Nations. And I can remember staying at a hotel. You know, we had kind of what they call a kontiki. It's like our team get together post game, and you have beers and whatever. And we finished up, then went out, got back to the hotel. Skalkberger, myself, roommates, and his brother was staying with us in the hotel room, and he actually fell asleep. He ordered a milkshake, a strawberry milkshake. And he woke up the following morning, never got to drink the milkshake, and the milkshake was just all over his chest, you know, lying on the bed with his big stuff on his chest. And as you do when you win the Tri Nations, we actually had a prominent businessman in South Africa saying, "No, just pop onto my private plane and we'll take you home the following morning." So, yeah, that's what we did.
That's the way to roll.
Is that how you celebrated PJ?
That's why promotion. That's how I envisioned us getting out to Paris, private jet, but it didn't happen.
Gonna have to set with the Eurostar.
That's Clapham, right?
Yeah.
Pardon?
In Clapham. In Clapham, being CEO.
Yeah, it's disappointing because, well, I think it's disappointing because I had plans to put an airport on Clapham Common, just like a private jet airport for small planes, but that got vetoed. And actually, I don't know whether we know the same high net worth South African businessman, but I was in talks to hopefully get a private jet out to Paris because for the opening game, but it didn't happen. It's a business deal that's gone sour. I mean, hopefully I can rekindle it for the quarterfinals when I go back out. In fact, if you have the guy's number, just drop it. I mean, just email it to me or Freddie.
Yeah, I will definitely
do that.
Jean,
and just send my CV as well.
To Jean?
Yeah, just send it, just in case. Jean. And also send the pitch because we always are pitching for an ITV. We're pitching an ITV 8 show, which we've sort of pitched to every South African guest we've had on the podcast, which is a reality TV show where me and Baki Spota go out to the outback and we just see
and box.
We see how long we survive. Just me talking to him and him enjoying my conversation. Flip van der Merwe said I'd last half an hour. Brian Abana said I'd last maybe a couple of days, but I don't know. What do you think? How much money?
I don't know how long it'll last, but I mean, it depends when if he gets hungry and starts eating you.
Yeah, that's the premise. There's no food. There is no food. Me and him for 3 days, both naked, and there's tasks set for wrestling. And it's just, I envision it being like a love story, really. Like at the beginning, he won't like me, but at the end, we'll be best friends.
No, you should definitely reach out to him. I'll send his number as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Jean.
This is a phenomenal business meeting. Yeah. I don't know about podcasts, but a bloody good business meeting.
When are we starting with a podcast?
It's happening. It's happening.
It is.
That's the kind of business meeting I sort of, you don't know it's happening, but it's happening.
Yeah, okay.
Samurai and Clapham Falcons, I said I'm mad at a dream of samurai stash. All week long with her on a picture on the lash. Boarding school memories on my chest now. Wear the very best made shirt and pressed out. Older girls wanna see me in a samurai shirt. Little CrossFit or a gym that's never seemed to hurt. Never hurt my style to see me walking through Waitrose in a wife beater trying to get close to. Eat some chicken, licking dinner, eating trees so far. The girls wanna come back in my fucking car. They wanna get had some folk and stash. It's the best fucking thing since Archie grew a tash. And now we're delighted to be with Samurai. Please click on the link in the podcast notes and get hold of your Clapham Falcons merchandise. Limited edition. You're all welcome. We love you lots. Go click now. You won't regret it.
Jean, talking about the World Cup there, 2007, you head out to France, first game against Samoa, you're in the form of your life, and then suddenly, bang, your biceps popped and you're out for the rest of the tournament. Do you regret, I mean, surely it's a huge regret missing out on that incredibly magical moment. And secondly, were you allowed to stay out in France and celebrate with the boys?
Yeah, so firstly, I think just to rewind 4 years prior to that. So 5 years, so 2002, make my debut, get injured 5 minutes in. Out for 9 months, then get back playing again, play a bit of Curry Cup, gets drafted into the World Cup squad to go to Australia. So part of the squad, we play our last game in South Africa against a local team before we fly over, play 15 minutes, pop my shoulder, out for 8 months, miss the World Cup. So then, like you said, 07, you know, now I've got dreams of contributing in a successful World Cup. Play the first game. I know that, okay, I should be fine. I got injured the previous World Cup. Surely it can't happen again. And like 5 minutes into the second half, you know, I rupture my bicep and World Cup over. So that was it. That was extremely disappointing. Came back home, got the operation, and then flew back to go watch the guys play semi-final and final. But yeah, it was a you know, it was one of those where you're so fortunate and privileged to be part of the celebrations and the winning squad, but still feel that you could have offered so much more and would have liked it to end in a different way. So yeah, it is what it is, and as I mentioned earlier, I think the, you know, kind of for me, the life lessons you learn from moments like that is what has shaped me to be the man that I am today, and learning from those experiences.
When you said pop bicep, I didn't realize rupture, because I pop my bicep. I feel like I pop my bicep every time I go to the gym, but rupture is different. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I can see you work out. I can, even with that hoodie, yeah. You can.
Yeah. It's the shape coming through. It's here. I've been doing a lot of dumbbells and barbell bent press. If I go like that,
there's a lot of wrinkles in the top. No, but I'm sure
that's the way the hoodie's designed. Samurai, they design that kind of. It's for comfort. It's not for. Okay. It's not for look.
Yeah.
Jean, 2009, you head over to Ireland to play for Munster, the wonderful Munster. Apparently you loved your time there, both on and off the pitch. But did you get in some trouble with the neighbours when you went for some beers with Niall Ronan?
Where the hell did you get
good journalism? Good journalism. There he is, the future Piers Morgan.
Betty, you're getting better. yeah, I did. So we had so basically what happened, I mean, Niall Ronan was going for all-nighter and he got in contact with me, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning, because I left him, you know, a little bit earlier the previous night, and I said, well, come over, you know, we're still on it kind of thing. And went over to his house and started looking in the fridge and the cupboards and whatever, getting a drink, and then only to realize it's not his house, it's someone else's house and random people, and eventually got out of there and then joined Niall. So it was so much was what was said about Limerick before I went there, and Munster as a club, but again, I absolutely loved my time there, you know, being able to make new friends and spend time with the O'Connells and O'Garas and Howlett's of the world. And that's the beauty of rugby for me as well, that you get to experience stuff like that, and guys that would normally be your opposition and the enemy, you know, now suddenly they're your teammates and you get to know them on a totally different level. So that was an unbelievable experience.
Would you have loved to play alongside John?
Oh yeah, yeah. We would have carved it up. Two good-looking guys, both with phenomenal chassis, a lot of chat, and the love of coin. You know, the three C's would have been great. I would have got, you know, Jean, you know, running a lot of dummy lines, opening up gaps to me to do the goose step through the gap and score. Yeah, yeah. It would have been great. And you would have enjoyed my left hand. My left hand passing is exceptional. It's known on the common. Good. You know, I love getting out there in the common with the boys and just, you know, tossing the pill about in my flip-flops. Yeah, it's just exceptional. It's one of the things that people come to Clapham for is for my left hand spin passing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've actually heard of that.
Yeah.
I never knew it was you.
No, it's me. No,
I can put a face to the actual.
These little hands work magic with the ball.
Well, talking little hands.
No, those photos aren't me.
Okay,
so I just want to say.
Because if John's heard of you, he may have seen the photos.
No, the photos aren't me. I explained to everyone, okay? Those photos were not me, okay? I'm not saying I'm a big guy, but I'm not that small. I don't know who they are.
Okay.
Completely out of context, okay?
You've got a lot of abuse off the back of it. Talking about sort of social media abuse, John, you played in a sort of era which bridged both social media and sort of pre and post. Did you ever get any abuse? Can you remember one day, maybe physically in person or digitally, getting abuse for something?
No, so you know, I've kind of always been someone who tried to stay off of social media. I was kind of forced to enter into the world of Instagram 4 years ago at the World Cup, and I won't say I've been abused there, but you know, as it is with playing a professional sport, you'll have bad days, and people don't like it when you lose and when they were backing you, and certainly after that Japan game, you know, the all the spectators and the supporters of the Springboks, they weren't happy, you know, because you lost it, the joy got taken away. So, you know, not abuse that I can remember as such, but yeah, I certainly, you know, when you play a game on a Saturday and the following day you kind of go to the shop and, you know, as we do in South Africa, you want to have a bit of a braai on a Sunday and you go to the shop just wanting to get some meat and whatever. And I would walk around there doing my groceries and, you know, this older guy would walk up to me and say, but hey, what the hell are you doing here? Shouldn't you be training? You know, I'm like, yes, but, you know, we also eat. And even though we lost yesterday, I still need to be able to put some food on the table kind of thing. So, yeah, people take it rather seriously in South Africa.
Do you ever get abused in the butcher?
No, never really. Not abused about my rugby. Maybe sometimes just about my look. Sometimes people abuse me. They say, you know, rat boy. There's a few times people, you know, messaged me that. But no, never. And physically, I once did a half marathon with Matt Stevens and he kept slapping my bum, which felt like I was getting slightly physically abused. Although I did enjoy it. He asked me, me and him did a half marathon. He was like, slap my bum as I run past you. And then I take over and then he slapped my bum. But his slap was much harder than mine.
I can imagine.
He was That's the only physical abuse I've... And I'm not even abuse. It was a pleasure. It was, yeah. I don't know what that
Amazing
says about
he
me.
Could run a half marathon.
He did.
Quite a big boy.
But it's also maybe because of your small hands.
Yeah, I think he
covers more area.
Yeah, but it was focused into a point. Sean, I just had a look at your Instagram. It's not bad. Not bad. 27,000. It's okay. It's okay. It's no 89,000, but, you know, what can I say?
But you're not a World Cup winner. We can 110 caps for South Africa.
I know, yeah. I know. That's
you played Div 5 South West
London. That's the world we live in. There's me with my hair.
Yeah. I don't judge my success and worth in life and my Instagram following.
That's where you're going wrong. Because my dad said to me.
And that's where... See, that's why we're so different. I don't think we would have been good playing together.
No,
at all.
We'd
I don't
fine.
Think we
would.
Oh, John hates
no,
you.
No. I think
the thing is, John, my dad said to me, you'll only be happy once you earn enough money. And for me, I've taken that into context of Instagram followers. The more Instagram followers I get, the happier I am. Like, look at my eyes. Look how happy I am. I'm one of the happiest guys I know.
You're not happy, are you?
How much is enough? How much is enough?
It's never enough. That's the problem. That's the beauty of Instagram. That's the beauty of Instagram. I just want more. I just want more.
Sean, talking about not being happy, you obviously finished up your career playing for Leicester in England. Do you regret coming out of retirement? Because you retired another injury at World Cup. I think this time it was a broken jaw in 2015. I mean, your luck at World Cups is shocking. I dread to see what's going to happen to you in France, even as a pundit. But how did that come about? And do you regret pursuing a move to Leicester? Because, come on, living in the Midlands isn't good fun.
Not at all. I do not regret that at all. So just on a technical point, I retired from international rugby after that. After I broke my jaw for the second time in 7 weeks in Birmingham, playing against Samoa again. But then, yeah, I was kind of contemplating, do I retire from all rugby or do I give it one more stint? And the Leicester opportunity came about. And again, you know, same luck with Munster. I think Leicester would be one of those clubs that's just so rich in tradition and history in terms of rugby, you know. Again, a lot of people say, yeah, the Midlands or whatever. But, we had a beautiful house in Arnsby. Jordan Murphy just stayed around the corner. It was a difficult time for me in terms of injuries and, you know, moving over there with my wife and my kids were aged. The day we flew, my kids were aged 1, 2, and 3. So that was a little bit tough to now settle in a different country. Played 2 games, bust my knee again, and basically career over. But to say that I regretted that would definitely be, you know, that's very far from the truth.
Well, 2009 was a huge year for you, if we jump back a bit, because you won the Tri Nations and then you destroyed the Lions. Was that the most physical tour test series you've ever been involved in?
Yeah, look, it was brutal. You know, when you talk about being physical and the most physical, you know, even if you play random amateur rugby. Ooh, rugby is
semi-pro, semi-pro, so, semi-pro.
Whatever you want to call it. Rugby remains physical. It's a tough game. So I think in that Lions series, you'd probably judge it by the amount of injuries that you saw during, especially those first 2 test matches, and just the brutality of that. It was an extremely enjoyable experience to be able to play against the Lions. Obviously, for us as South Africans, as an opportunity, you only get once every 12 years. So when you do get that opportunity, you want to make the most of it. And, and for me, it was brutal. Yes, it was physical. But to have been part of that, especially after the disappointment from a personal point of view of 07, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Is Mike Phillips the most annoying person in world rugby after Archie?
Oh, there's a couple of other scrum halves in world rugby who plays for Australia that could be up there as well. No, I'm joking. I'm not talking about Nick White. Mike Phillips, he's a competitor. I like all these guys, man. They're competitors. And again, he had a bit of a go at Buckies as well, I think, in the one games. That's not really the right guy to pick on. It just added to the whole experience.
Well, talking about Lions being incredibly special, there is one club in rugby which is even more special, arguably, and that's the Barbarians.
Fingers crossed this year.
You've managed to don the black and white stripes, I believe, on 2 occasions. Famously, the loosest rugby team in the planet. I'm guessing you were based in London, out in Clapham. How loose were those 2 weeks, and who were the best guys you got to know on those trips?
Oh, it was amazing. So the first time we were there, and we didn't actually, on both occasions, we didn't have a full week, and thank goodness for that, because I don't think I would have made a full week. But the first one we had, so Skalkberger, John Smith, George Gregan, Richie McCaw, Jerry Collins, you know, just legends of the game, and being able to know them on a different level. 2013, the second time around, Steve Hansen was our coach and he actually made me captain. So, I mean, captain the Barbarians as well is a pretty cool thing to be able to put on your CV, talking about CVs. and there again, just, it's something that, you know, rugby as a whole, I think the rugby fraternity is such a cool thing to be part of. And to play test match rugby is the ultimate challenge. But then being able to get those guys that you go into battle with on a weekly basis and now call them your teammates and get to know them on a totally different level, that is extremely, extremely special as well. So 2013, obviously I'm a little bit older, so TJ Perenara, Charles Pietau, I can't even remember all the names, to be honest. You're a bit quick on me. But it's awesome to be part of, and then to go out and see all the lovely spots in Clapham.
Just talking about your CV, I would love to cast my eye over that if you have a copy. I'm a big fan of CVs, so I don't know whether that's possible.
LinkedIn, why don't you just connect on LinkedIn?
We'll connect on LinkedIn. Yeah. Or I've just started following you on Instagram, so if you want to just DM me your CV and then I can cast it. I'm a big fan of CVs. It's something I like to do in my spare time. I love just looking at sort of successful people's CV and seeing what I can take from it and put it onto mine.
I need to make notes of everything that I need to send you post.
Oh, that's fine.
This podcast, but
we'll send you an email.
If you could just maybe draw minutes of this conversation, of this meeting, because it's basically a business meeting rather than than a podcast, and then I can just get that approved by all, and I can send that through to you.
When are we going to get to the part where we ask John for money for the built-on investment?
No.
Is that at the end?
No.
At the end. Because we
guys, the Wi-Fi that's really bad.
One of the things I do is Bitcoin and built-on, and I'm a keen investor in the built-on market. So if it, you know, we minimum investment is sort of like half a million. So if you are looking to
A million rand.
Yeah, half a million rand. Yes. So let me know.
Who knows? Jean, obviously a huge, huge World Cup coming up. Probably the first World Cup ever where four, five, six teams could possibly win it. But let's quickly look at the three big fixtures this weekend. We've got New Zealand, France. Who's going to win that? I just want to know who's going to win. New Zealand, France.
I'm going to go New Zealand.
England, Argentina.
Argentina.
South Africa, Scotland.
South Africa.
Australia, Georgia.
Australia.
And finally, Wales, Fiji.
Come on, Fiji.
And
last weekend.
They were looking good, weren't they, against England? And finally, who's going to win the World Cup? Who do you honestly think? I mean, obviously you're going to say South Africa, but...
Yeah, I am going to say South Africa, and I feel that they've got a fantastic chance of winning it. But as you mentioned earlier, I think... So ask me the question, if South Africa is good enough to win the World Cup, yes, no doubt they're good enough to win the World Cup. I think that there are three other teams that would also be good enough to win the World Cup, being France, New Zealand, and Ireland. And that's why it's just an absolute pity that all four of them are on the one side of the draw and can't play in the semifinals.
Great,
but I believe that they won.
Are you going to be out there?
I will be.
So I'm over on Tuesday.
We'll see you there. We're there Sunday. Let's get a coffee in.
No, great. Actually, I'm not. I'm not going to be.
I'm there. World Cup.
I'm not going anymore.
Yeah, he's not
going. I should stay.
Does he have chat? Brian Habana.
Yeah, chat every now and then if he's not in business mode.
Percy Montgomery.
No chat.
JP Peterson.
Chat.
And finally, Chondre Pollard.
Chat, yes.
Well, JDV, you've had lots and lots of chat. We'll see you out in France.
We'll see you in Marseille.
Come on the Springboks.
We'll see you in Marseille.
Come on England.
Love and champagne. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Jean.
Cool, guys. Thank you very much.
Legend.
Yeah.
Lovely guy.
LEGEND.
Well done.
Legend.
Well done.
Yeah, really good guy.
You
really
guys would have been a dangerous combo.
I think that actually deserves a samurai.
So Archie, us going to the World Cup and supposedly now going to the opening game, which is just incredible. I don't know to believe you, but hopefully we are. But that's not the most exciting news this week, is it?
No.
Because you've got some incredible news to share with our thousands of listeners around the globe.
That's right, Glows. We are back. It's bigger, better, and tastier than ever.
Oh, God. When are these buttons going to sell?
That's my firework button, Clothers, and I only use that once a year.
Oh, special. Your golden buzzer.
Yeah, yeah. It is exciting news, yeah. But More Lash is back. Head to www.morelashbrewery.com and buy your case. It is not a drink to sip, Clothers. It is a drink to neck from either a pint glass can or shoe. But head to www.morelashbrewery and buy your order now.
Has anything changed from the first iteration before we go?
Yes, Clothers. It is a new tasting lager.
Okay, new recipe.
I think everyone will enjoy. It is the perfect sesh lager. So click on the link in the bio.
Go check it out.
And enjoy. You are very welcome, high net worth individuals.
S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Let's spell samurai. Yeah, you guessed it right. Time for Archie's question, because he feels alive. Samurai, the best stash inside. Click on the link in the bio so you're not left light. Samurai, just invest tonight. It's going to run out, so you best be tight. Samurai, it just gets it right.
Well, Archie, it's obviously time for our samurai questions. We've got a couple this week, so let's get straight into them. Emma is asking, how do you charm a French person? I'm guessing she's talking about a French boy, but how do you charm a French person?
The French are tricky because a lot of them don't speak English.
No.
So I would just say make sure you're aesthetically pleasing as possible. You know, if you're a 7 out of 10 and you don't speak French, I wouldn't even bother.
We've got one from Rupert here saying, no matter how many times I go to the gym, I can't seem to lose any weight. Does the CEO have any tips on how I can get better?
Yeah. Can I have a look at his profile picture? Let me have a look at his picture.
There you go.
Okay. Look, I mean, that guy could go to the gym 7 times a day, but nothing's going to change unless he stops eating butter.
And then finally, Joe sent us this question saying, Archie, I bought tickets to the quarterfinal for £400 for the England game. I'm worried that we're not going to make it out of the group stages. Do you still believe?
Hey, Joe. Hey, babe. Lovely question. Do not fret. I'm going to be there for the quarterfinal. I still believe. And you know why? Because I'm going with Infinity Sports Travel. And if you use the code NORS10, you get 10% off your whole trip.
Why do you keep saying that?
Well, I'm just saying, if you use the code NORS10...
No, I know you've said it again.
No, I'm contractually obliged to say it, but I'm going with Infinity Sport Travel. I'll be there for the quarterfinal. I don't know what she asked, but I'm just saying to the thousands that listen to the podcast, I'll be there. And if you use the code NORS10, you get 10% off. Have I said that enough? I think so.
So Archie, we're coming to the end of another wonderful podcast. JDV was fantastic. You were great. We're going to be out in France for the bloody World Cup this weekend, hopefully with tickets, if you're to be believed. But you're also going to be out in Paris in about 3 or 4 weeks' time doing the Kenny Logan Biking Challenge over 300 miles. Give us an update on that.
That's right, Clays. In 4 weeks' time, I'm joining Kenny Logan on his World Cup Challenge.
Yep.
I'm doing 3 days, over 300 miles cycling. I have yet to get on the bike.
Worry.
But I'm looking forward to it. And it's all for My Name is Doddy's charity. They're trying to find a course at M&T. I've been banging the drum for the last 5 weeks. And I just want to say thank you, first and foremost, to everyone that has donated. I'm asking once again, £1, £2, £5, £10, whatever it is, please donate. Yeah. And as I said last week, if you work in an office or a group of mates want to donate £500 lump sum, I will spend the day with you. I'll give up my time after the World Cup. I can play a round of golf with you. I take you to Ned. I can come to your office, whatever it is. I'd just be very grateful for your support. It is an amazing charity. They're trying to do some amazing things. If you listen to this podcast week in, week out, we love doing it. If you could donate, I'd be much appreciated.
So Archie, that is the end of the podcast.
So hold on, mate. I've just got my list that I just want to go through. Have you got your budgie smugglers?
No, not yet.
Right. Have you got a couple of bottles of Corona for the train?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll bring those. Goggles?
No, for what?
Well, just because it's going to get loose out there on a night's out.
Right, okay.
Flip-flops?
No.
Jack Wills quarter zip.
Need to get hold of one.
Okay, I got a spare one. I'll bring you one.
Thank you.
And then I want to try and do loads of running content out there.
Okay.
So just bring a camera, because that is good content.
Okay.
I can't wait, mate. I'm going to go home now and pack. We're off tomorrow.
Archie, I'm looking forward to it as well. The train's at about 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, so we'll meet at 6:30 or?
No. Meet at 4 a.m., mate.
What?
Because we're going to have a breakfast of champions. Don't ask me what that is. I'll show you when we get there.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Pack your drinking boots. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Archie, I'll see you tomorrow, mate. Go well.
In the red dress, she's just trying to impress us, and she's got the body fever, but she doesn't make a sound. She's just hanging around. She's just hanging around. Down the global alley with a hush who's being bullet. There's a million of them selling, and the buyers can be.